Yes, please. Yes, thank you.
In the northern end of downtown Kansas City, Missouri, employees of the local diocese and Catholic Charities come to work in a 19th century brick and brownstone high-rise. Workers here quietly carry out the administrative work for a diocese that serves over 130,000. But even among these faithful employees, there's anger at the church. In a meeting room, Jennifer Valenti remembers the upset that she shared with millions when she learned about the sexual abuse scandals.
I grew up Catholic, and, you know, I watched this scandal unfold nationally, and now it's unfolding worldwide. And there are many times that I was disappointed about the way it was handled.
In early 2011, a scandal hit Kansas City in a big way when reports emerged showing that Father Sean Radigan had produced child pornography and that Bishop Finn may have known about it. Revelations of the scandal caused local Catholics to demand that their church do more to protect children. So in June of 2011, the diocese took an unusual step. It hired the first ever ombudsman in a U.S. diocese.
This is Jennifer Valenti, ombudsman for the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph. If you believe that a child is at risk, please call the Missouri Child Abuse Hotline at 1-800.
Jennifer Valenti is a former Jackson County prosecutor. As ombudsman, she investigates reports of what she calls boundary violations. Reports of known child abuse are directed to police or social services. Boundary violations happen when a diocese employee or volunteer acts suspiciously toward a child, but it's not enough to warrant an investigation by the police or social services.
Let's say that both those agencies say there's nothing there for us to look into, then I would look into that and say, okay, is there abuse happening in that situation, or is that somebody who doesn't understand what a good boundary is? Is that somebody who doesn't understand that we don't do that? We don't put ourselves in situations where we're alone with children in a private area.
Valenti then takes her findings to an independent review board. It's made up of lay people who work in child protection.
That group oversees the work that I do. They supervise the work that I do, in fact. In an investigation, I report my findings to them, and if they want further investigation, then I do it. That group of professionals provides a recommendation to the bishop as to somebody's suitability of ministry.
Jennifer Valenti is part of a five-person team that serves as the diocese Office of Child and Youth Protection. In addition to the ombudsman role, the Kansas City St. Joe office offers training to spot abuse, a victim advocate, and a counseling coordinator. While the ombudsman position is unique, child protection offices like Kansas City's are now common in most U.S. dioceses. On a slow morning at the Midtown newsroom of the National Catholic Reporter, editor Dennis Cody explains how these offices got their start after a major child abuse scandal in Boston, which became big news in 2002.
The bishops were forced into the corner and they needed to act because they knew that they had not been protecting children as they should have been. And the public pressure from the pews, forced them to act and to develop a plan, a credible plan of protecting children and removing priest abusers.
Following the scandal, U.S. bishops established a National Office of Child and Youth Protection. The bishops developed a charter that set up standards for each diocese to follow. These include creating positions like a victim advocate and safe environment training, as well as creating local child protection offices. Kansas City St. Joe has been in compliance with the 2002 charter every year, even in the year of its biggest scandal.
2 years ago, when the Father Radigan case broke here in the local scene, that year the Kansas City St. Joseph Diocese passed this audit. They were found to be in compliance with the charter. And so the question is, well, you know, if they're in compliance with the charter, but this is happening, what does that mean?
For many area Catholics, it meant the diocese needed to go beyond the charter and do more to protect children. In addition to creating the ombudsman role, the diocese began creating annual reports on child abuse. In its first report, which covered the year starting in July 2011, the diocese revealed 79 reports of suspected child abuse or boundary violations in areas both inside and outside of its jurisdiction. 7 of these cases were substantiated, and 14 people were suspended or removed from service. For a Catholic diocese, the reports that Ombudsman Jennifer Valenti produces are a big step in transparency, but critics say the diocese needs to do more.
Valenti put out some numbers, but disclosing numbers protects no one. Disclosing the wrongdoers, that protects the vulnerable.
That's David Clossy from his office in St. Louis. He's the executive director of the Survivors Network for Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP. His organization has long considered Kansas City St. Joseph to be one of the worst U.S. dioceses for abuse. Clossy believes that in order to deter child abusers, the diocese should name names and provide more to the public than an annual report.
Valenti should speak up every single time, immediately, when a credible child sex abuse report is made. It helps predators. Every time Valenti and other Catholic officials save up information about child sex abuse for one report at the end of the year. Every single day that a child molester or possible child molester is protected and kept in secrecy gives that person more time and incentive to destroy evidence, intimidate witnesses, scare victims, discredit whistleblowers, and potentially even flee the country.
Jennifer Valenti says that in some cases, the diocese does do more than the annual report. Anytime an abuse allegation is made against a priest, the public is informed. But naming names, particularly those of lay people, is more complicated.
There are some people that are credibly accused that are employees, and so you can understand from a legal standpoint that that's not something that, I mean, I think most people wouldn't expect that names would be published until there's a criminal proceeding. So if there's a criminal proceeding, that is something that we would share.
Despite the efforts that the Kansas City St. Joseph Diocese has made to address abuse and bolster its Office of Child and Youth Protection, David Clossy of SNAP is still not impressed.
These offices look good and sound good on paper and in principle. But the sad, simple truth is that these offices are one more effort by Catholic bishops to try to handle child sex abuse internally.
Clossy remains suspicious of the diocese and of the bishop's motives for revamping the Child Protection Office.
This is part of a very carefully orchestrated and very shrewd public relations campaign to convince parishioners and the public that bishops are reforming.
Jennifer Valenti says she's proud of the work her office does and believes the transparency of the office can help rebuild trust. But she understands the skepticism that many feel about her work and the department she's part of.
It was sometimes a surprise to me to know that people perhaps would question my integrity or question my motives or question my bias and whether I have a bias. And so that's something that I've just had to deal with. And I think that's okay as a Catholic and as a mother, I think it's okay. I want everybody to be on the same page about how we protect our children, and I want everyone to feel comfortable with the work that I do. And the reality is that, there's going to be times that people just don't support the work that we do, and I think that comes out of hurt and anger, and I think that's oftentimes legitimate.
The National Catholic Reporter's Dennis Cody thinks the church has a long way to go in dealing with child abuse, but thinks the enhancements Kansas City St. Joe has made to its child protection efforts will help the diocese to stay vigilant.
What Kansas City did by putting high-level, professional, experienced people in is probably a good, marker for other dioceses, just to make sure that the professionalism is at the highest level and that it's going to be an ongoing concern.
The bells of the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception ring out across the western end of downtown as office workers rush to get lunch. The Mother Church of the diocese has a dome covered in 23-karat gold leaf, which can be spotted from miles away. Just after noon, a few churchgoers scurry inside for the weekday mass. For most of them, the main question about child abuse efforts is, are they actually reducing abuse? Valenti says she's seen a slight tick down in the past year. But it's probably too soon to say what the real effect is. That's because, as Dennis Cody explains, most victims usually don't report abuse until years after it's happened.
What we're told by advocates for sex abuse victims is that it's going to take 10, 15, 20 years after abuse happens before most victims can face up to it and report it.
The Diocese of Kansas City St. Joseph will release its second public report on abuse later this month. You'll be able to hear about it here on Casey Current. I'm Alex Smith.